Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the regular meeting of the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee. My name is R. Paul Martin. I am the secretary. In the absence of the chair, I am starting the meeting. First thing we're going to do is a roll call. Please answer up when you hear your name. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Sam Agarwal. Nick Arena. Bill Crozier. A minute ago. Sabrina Jacobs.
Where'd he go?
Here. Sorry.
Okay, Bill is there. Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah.
Hazir.
Nancy Sorden. Nancy Sorden? Was here, not here.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. And that's five. And because we have had two people who are treasurers who have been elected to the Pacifica National Board, we have two fewer people, so five seems to be a quorum. Okay, the first thing we need to do is decide what we're going to do for an agenda on this meeting. Alex had sent out a very short agenda, which would have been budgets starting with KPFK and KPFA, consolidated revenue and expense statement for the period ending September 30th, 2017, and bank accounts that do not include the name of the station. And he gives a reason why that's something to bring up. However, he also says that without the CFO, we certainly can't do a thing about bank accounts, and it's questionable if we can really do the budgets and talk about the consolidated revenue, an expense statement for FY17, which came out of the national office recently. We don't think we could do much with that without the CFO here either. So one of the other things I think that we need to pay attention to is that the committee has not scheduled any further meetings. And I am going to suggest that one of the things we do, it may be the only thing we do, is to schedule a meeting for February 6th. Which is 2 weeks from tonight. It would be pretty much a regular time when the NFC has been meeting for years. And by then, we should have treasurers and directors all elected to this committee, and we should be able to go from there. So does anybody want to make a motion to have an agenda of some sort?
This is Ken. Okay, let Bill go first. Go ahead.
Okay, we also have a couple of sets of minutes that you sent out. I believe they're both executive session, but if there's no corrections, we could approve them in open session. So I move that we put that first on the agenda.
And, okay, so you're moving.
And then second, we'll set the next meeting date, the February 6th. We'll just say set next meeting date for the second item on the agenda. And then I'll leave it to Ken or whatever else he wants to add.
Bill, can you speak up? It's really hard to hear you.
We can't hear you, Bill.
Let me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bill,
I'm sorry.
You have minutes. We have approved minutes. Set next meeting date.
Minutes
what
first.
The third thing you were suggesting?
And then I'll let Ken suggest the next things.
Okay.
I had a motion that I submitted. I guess Alex didn't put it on the agenda. Regards mostly if we acquire a new liability like a loan against one of the properties, that it's understood that it's a debt of Pacifica, not the station used for collateral. That was a motion. I did send it to the NFC, but I can send it to everybody individually. And the second thing was I just wanted to get more information about the new interim director. Executive director, when he takes over, and I'm sure Bill can answer that, but it's relevant. And then also, at least make a motion to find out about the distribution of the funds that were collected to cover audits and a discussion about, you know, the CFO sent us a report that we're in a critical situation with the 2016 audit. And, you know, what should we do about that in terms of hiring staff to facilitate getting a 2016 audit done? So that's what I would add. So the two things were, I have a motion about repayment of debt, and when and who is the new ED, when does he take over, and as a signatory on the bank accounts and so forth, and what actions are appropriate to facilitate getting the 2016 audit done. Oh, the first thing is electing a chair pro tem. Electing a chair pro tem would be first.
Oh, you want to make that first. Okay, so what I have, the motion is a motion from Bill to adopt the agenda, and between two people, the proposal is, one, elect chair pro tem, two, approval of minutes, three, set next meeting date, four, motion on repayment of debt, five, when does the new executive director take over? Is that really, can you just ask? That sounds like a 10-second item.
That's right.
I don't think we need that as actually an agenda item. And finally, what is needed to get the FY16 audit done?
Right.
Okay. So that's the motion that's on the floor at this moment. Is there any debate on that motion to adopt the agenda, the details of which I have just read? Hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda as we've just gone over it? Okay, pass without objection. Okay, so the first item here is going to be elect a chair pro tem. And who wants to be the chair pro tem?
By proclamation, I'll nominate you to be the chair.
Hold on. Are there any other, anybody else want to make any other nominations? Okay. Understand that here and there you're going to have me taking a few seconds extra while I write down what we're doing in real time so that we don't screw up the minutes. What I'm doing right there. All right, is there anybody else who wants to be... Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations going once? Bill, do you want to do it?
I think you're doing fine, Paul.
All right.
If you can handle that plus minutes.
All right, so... are there any other nominations? Going once, twice, three times? So there's only one nominee, that's me. Is there any objection to me being the chair pro tem at this meeting? Hearing none, I am joyously elected. Hold on a second. Okay, the next thing is approval of minutes.
So moved.
Okay, what we have is the public the meeting of December 12th was public, and so I will move that we approve the December 12th, 2017 minutes.
So moved.
Okay, Okay, so is there any debate on approving the 12-12-17 minutes? Seeing none, is there any objection to approving the minutes of December 12th, 2017? None, passed without objection. There are minutes from the 14th of November, but that's executive session, so we can put that off to the next executive session, I suppose. All right, so unless somebody really has the hots to try and do that, which could be complicated.
This is Bill.
Bill, yeah?
Well, it's more difficult for new people to approve minutes if they weren't in the meeting, especially if it's an executive session. They can't go back and listen to it. So if we don't have any corrections, I move that we go ahead and approve those minutes.
Second.
That was for the November 14th of last year, executive session.
Okay, so the motion is to approve the minutes of the November 14th, 2017 executive session. Any debate? Is there any objection?
I object, Nancy.
Okay.
Any debate? Yeah, okay, Nancy.
Say again?
I have a debate.
Yeah, go ahead.
Any debate on the minutes from the closed meeting to be done in the closed session? So we can't really vote on it in the open session. We need to vote on the closed minutes in the closed session in case there's debate on it. Okay.
Is there any further debate?
There might be people that would say something about it. They need to have an opportunity to say something about it in the closed session.
Point of personal privilege, I can't understand what Nancy's saying. If she could maybe speak a little further from the microphone, because it's distorting real badly.
You still can't hear me? Can you hear me, Nancy? I said that if people want to have debate on it, they need to be able to have it in the closed session. And I would like to look at them and be able to debate them in closed session in case there's something that, you know, needs to be changed or discussed on the closed session minutes. I would like to be able to say something about that in closed session.
Okay. Is there any further debate? Is there any further debate on the motion to approve the November 14th executive session minutes? Anyone?
I heard Ken.
Oh, Ken?
A point of personal privilege, just want to tell Nancy the last sentence was understandable, so whatever you're doing, please continue to do it.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, basically, it's a point of order, okay, which is another motion that's interrupting your motion that says we can't vote on the closed session minutes in the open session because any debate that I want to have on it has to happen, or anybody else wants to have, has to happen in closed session. So we can't vote on the minutes of the closed session. We can't vote on approving them in the open session. We have to do it in closed session.
Okay, so this is a point of order, and the chair is going to rule that from my understanding of Roberts and from various other meetings that this sort of thing has been brought up in, it is certainly valid to argue that they shouldn't be passed as part of debate, and you can vote against it. However, in terms of can we vote on something that happened in closed session, Yeah, we can. There's loads of precedent for that, both in the NFC and other committees, in LSBs. So I'm going to rule that it is in order to make the motion to approve executive session minutes in the open session. In fact, we did it only a couple of months ago, I remember, like in October or something. We did the same thing. So I'm going to rule that it's in order, and debate continues.
Challenge your ruling. I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Yeah, I hear you. Hold on. As I said, I gotta type things in. Okay. It's been appealed. All right. So the way it works is the chair goes once, everybody else gets a shot, and then the chair goes at the end, and that's it. Okay. First, I think I've explained it. We've done this before, and you are allowed to have this, and a person may, of course, offer and debate the idea that we should not do it because we can't debate the details of the minutes, but I think that's it. I think it is in order, and that's my ruling. Anybody else want to debate on the appeal?
Yeah, I would. Nancy would.
Go ahead.
Okay. Just because we've done it before doesn't mean that that was correct to do it before. And it doesn't make sense to me that we approve them in open session when we should be able to debate them. We should be able to correct them and debate whether or not to approve them. We should be able to do that in closed session. It just doesn't make sense to do it in open session. And I can't understand that that's really allowed. And you said we've done it before, but I have to see all the Roberts rules and everything to understand why we can do it in open session. I don't believe it. Thanks.
Any further debate?
Bill, for the SPAC.
Bill, go ahead.
Well, I understand what Nancy's saying, but looking at the minute, I didn't see anybody emailing any corrections or questions about the minutes. And so I'm not sure why we need time to debate it if there's no corrections. And secondly, in the minutes themselves, there were no motions voted on. It was all discussion. So there's not much controversy, I wouldn't think, about whether they were passed or not. I mean, we can always go back and correct it later if somebody finds some error in what was listed there, but there's nothing, there's no recommendations, no motions passed, so I don't see why we shouldn't just go ahead and approve them, because the new people are not going to know what was discussed, and they're not going to know whether it's correct or not. I think we should just go ahead and approve them. And I guess I'm regarding the point of order, Orpal is right that the ruling of the chair that we have the right to approve them. If you don't one of rooms, you can vote no, and we actually vote on that. But for the point of order, I think our poll is correct.
Okay. Any further debate on the appeal? Okay, if there's no more, I will go, and that'll end the debate on the appeal. It actually does make sense to do it this way because sometimes there's absolutely no other way to do it. Plus, you can say, well, I found a glaring error in these minutes, and you can bring that up at a future meeting. So, there's that. And it isn't just like we higgledy-piggledy did this stuff in the past. It's been done. It's been done a number of times, and sometimes you just need to go and pass a motion like that, or not, at least bring it up. We're discussing bringing it up now. So, it's in order, and that's my ruling. Now we will go to a vote on this. Hold on one second. Okay, so the... motion is to appeal. Ruling of the chair that the motion to approve the November 14th, 2017 executive session minutes is in order. If you want to uphold the ruling of the chair, you vote yes. If you oppose the ruling of the chair, you vote no. Ken Aaron.
Yes. I uphold the ruling of the chair.
Yeah, you know, that's the same thing. Sam Agarwal, Nick Arena, Chris Corey, Bill Crozier.
Am I allowed to vote?
I don't think
I'm allowed to vote.
Yeah, no, okay, sorry. I didn't have time to change the roll call vote.
It's all right, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I get it.
Okay. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Nick Akana, he went to, okay. All right, called Nick Arena, right? Let me look here and see who it is. I'm having to go back. Yeah, Nick Arena is still here. So Nick Arena, if he's there, no vote. Chris Corey, no. Back here. And the other person is gone. Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin, yes. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg. 3-4, 1 against, 0 abstentions. So, chair upheld. 1 second. Okay. All right, so the motion on the floor is to approve the November 14th, 2017 executive session minutes. Is there any further debate on that? Seeing none, I guess there's going to be objection. Is there any objection to approving those executive session minutes?
Abstain. Nancy abstains.
Well, I asked if there was objection. So if you want to have a vote, 1 second. Pardon me. If you want to have a vote, you can have a vote. Or otherwise, it's a pass without objection, which do you want, Nancy? Do you want to have a vote, or do you want to have it passed without objection?
I don't care. Whatever you want to do. I mean, you said, just do it over. Do what you said over again. No objection. No objection.
So there's no objection. Okay, I'll put it as passed without objection. Okay, so we've approved some minutes. The next thing on this agenda is set next meeting date. So, all right. I will propose, I move that we meet on February 6th, 2018. That's 2 weeks from tonight. It would be one of the regular the usual regular time when this committee tends to meet, and at that time we'll probably have gotten the full complement of people. We'll have treasurers. We should have treasurers. We'll have directors and all of that, and we should be able to really get going then. So my motion is meet next on February 6, 2018.
Discussion.
Yeah, I have two quick questions. One
okay.
is Sorry, who's Chris Corey?
Corey, go ahead.
Chris Corey. Okay, so one is that I need to resubmit my treasurer's report. I made an error during the meeting, and I need to fix that and redistribute it. So, is that a problem for me to do that? Given that I'm technically no longer the treasurer.
Okay. How does that relate to the meeting?
You asked if there were any more questions. I'm just asking a question.
We're talking about the motion on the floor is to meet next on February 6th.
I thought you were done with that already. But
I'm worried
everybody will just wander off after that. So.
All right. I'm just trying to make it so that we don't have confusion
okay.
about when we're going to meet.
Okay.
So,
okay. Ken to the staff.
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Okay, who was that was just speaking before Ken went on the stack? Who's no longer the treasurer?
That was Chris Corey.
That was Chris. Okay, thank you.
And I guess my other question was whether I guess I'm not to attend these meetings unless I'm reseated. Is that correct?
So does that mean that Chris doesn't have a vote right now?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Ken, go ahead.
We've always been meeting on the second and possibly the fourth Tuesday of the month. February 6th is the first Tuesday of February. So the thing is, a lot of other committees schedule around the finance committee, not to interfere with it. So, changing it to the first and third Tuesday of the month will have some impact.
Do you have an amendment?
Oh, well, I would say just keep it the 13th, February 13th. I know I myself, am sorry to have to throw in an extra week to work late, but I think it's better to stick with tradition and predictability. I know I've scheduled, I think I've scheduled a KPFK Finance Committee meeting for the 13th, but I'm sure other stations might also, because traditionally we've been scheduling on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month.
Okay. Right now I'm looking at KPFTX calendar, and let me refresh it. And there's only one meeting in all of February. So I would not be averse to meeting on the 13th. I would be okay with that. Any further debate on the amendment at this point to make it the 13th instead of the 6th? Okay. Is there any more debate? None. I'm not hearing debate. Is there any objection to making the motion read meet next on February 13th, 2018? I'm hearing no objection, so that becomes the new motion. The motion on the floor now is to meet next on February 13th, 2018. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none. It's passed without objection. Okay, the next thing we need to do is motion on repayment of debt.
Right. I can motivate this. I just sent out I just emailed it out to National Finance Committee again. I originally sent it on the 8th. And just to talk about it briefly, all of the property is owned by the Pacifican Foundation, not by any of the specific stations. All the assets and all the liabilities, unfortunately, go through. Otherwise, we could have done different handling for BAI's debts, but the full responsibility goes directly to Pacifica National Board. Therefore, if a property is used, like we're using a property owned by Paul to collateralize a loan to pay a debt owed by Peter, Paul shouldn't have to repay that loan. Pacifica has to repay that loan. So I made a motion to make that clear, and I have one other thing in it. I can read it pretty fast.
Well, yes,
in case somebody doesn't have
because
assets.
We need it for stream.
For the stream, all right. Whereas all assets, liabilities, and obligations associated with any of its stations and business units are property of the Pacifica Foundation, and whereas management of the foundation and each of its stations and business units are to some degree a collaborative activity, therefore, be it resolved that no single station or business unit shall be required to stand alone for repayment of obligations acquired by any other station or business unit and or the national office. And B, major loans or similar obligations acquired by the foundation shall be repaid in an equitable fashion as prescribed and or approved by the Pacifica National Board and as may be adjusted thereby during the course of the repayment. And C, this is separate, any funds requisitioned for any reason by the national office from a station or business unit in excess of those required for payment of regular obligations, such as payroll, taxes, insurance, pension plan, and scheduled central services, shall stand as credit on the ledger of the station or business unit's obligations of National Office for Central Services, past, present, and or future. D, the above stated rule about being charged at C applies retroactively to any such funds requisitioned by the National Office since January 1st, 2015, but do not apply to special national fund drives run in the past or future for the benefit of the National Office projects, the Pacifica Foundation, or the Pacifica Radio Archives. So just to, I've tried to make a very generic phrasing there, but the idea was sometimes the National Office has to requisition $95,000 or $30,000 or something from some station who's got the money to cover an emergency repayment of a judgment or to cover a payroll or whatever they're doing. And there's been recent practice that there's no credit given to that station against its obligations on the central services. And that's just, to me, very sloppy accounting. So it's happened to our station. I'm sure it's happened to other stations. And therefore, that's why that says, and I feel it should be adjusted going back to January 1st of 2015. And again, just to talk about the real world, if we get a loan and we use collateral from one station and we're covering a debt, and that debt is anywhere, then the burden of repaying it should be done by the whole foundation. Now, I'm saying the decision about how it's repaid should be up to the Pacifica National Board. There may be some debt obligations or reasons why the board may decide that the repayment should be weighted in some fashion or another. So I'm not trying to make a standing rule about how the repayment is done, just that it doesn't fall on the burden of the station that happens to have supplied the collateral for the obligation. That's my motivation.
Okay. Before we go anywhere, since this isn't a PNB, I would suggest we add at the front, the NFC recommends that the PNB adopt the following, comma, and then the rest of it, okay?
Excellent.
Okay, the NFC requests. Okay, so I've put at the front, the NFC requests that the PNB adopt the following motion, and it starts whereas all assets. And there. Okay, is there any debate on this motion?
I have a question. Yeah, I'm sorry. How long have we had this motion to look at?
I'm looking. It was sent on the 8th.
On the 8th. January 8th. Okay.
2 weeks ago. A little over 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
For the stack.
It sounds like a very promising motion to me, and obviously I haven't looked at it yet, and I just would like I that's all. I can't say any more about it other than that. But.
Okay. I heard Bill, I think. Bill, did you want to be on stack?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was muted. I like the motion, except I have a concern about C, the part that says any funds requisitioned for any reason by the national office from a station or business unit in excess of those required for a payment of regular obligations, mention some things, shall stand as credit on the ledger of the station's or business unit's obligation to the national office or central services past, present, and or future. The problem with that is, you know, if a station is caught up with central services and then pays extra because, you know, we need all the stations to contribute for something like, you know, to pay for audit funding and pension liabilities and stuff like that, then it's going to be a problem if they feel they don't have to pay central services next month. Because it'll, right now the national office is being starved for cash. So, you know, I guess I would move to delete that particular item, C, unless somebody has a modification to it they want to submit. But I guess I move to strike part C.
Could I respond to that before we make the amendment?
Well, he's made an amendment, and you can debate it. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, that's covered in D. The above stated rule applies retroactively, but does not apply to special national fund drives run in the past or future for the benefit of the national office projects, the Pacifica Foundation, or Pacifica Radio Archives. So if we do a fund drive nationally to raise funds to cover the audit, then those funds, that's not part of this. It doesn't get credited against central services. This is the cover where, in an emergency, management has to go in, raid some one specific bank account, and irrespective of other people's participation. And they say, well, we needed the money. Goodbye. Call me next Tuesday. I'll see how I feel. There's no address, no credit. It's crazy. There's no. And then at the same time, they say, you still owe me everything you owe me.
Really?
Yeah. It's bad accounting.
Yeah.
So this is covered, what you stated is covered in D, because those times when we need extra funds, we do a national fund drive, or we get money from everywhere. So that's already covered.
Well,
answer that
if I could respond. Or put me back on the sack one after everybody else.
All right, Nancy, then Bill. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, I would like for us to postpone this until the next meeting, because I think everybody on the Finance Committee going forward should hear about this bill and understand it and understand, you know, what this means, you know, so that, so everybody knows, you know, who's going to get, you know, if this goes forward, who's going to get credit for what, and I just think it should be more widely understood and known, and
okay,
have other perspectives, you know, and maybe adding some tweaks to it.
Okay, so the motion now is to postpone this to the next meeting. And any debate on that?
Well, this is Bill.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't mind just voting on it today if we can remove C, but let me, I guess, kind of to respond to what Kim was saying. D doesn't exactly take care of it because, for example, last week we asked all the general managers to contribute some funding to help pay for an ERISA attorney that we need to help straighten out some of the mess we have on our pensions. We're not doing a national fund drive for this. We're asking each station to contribute, and the way they're going to have to pay for it probably is by adding an extra day or part of a day of fund drive to their current drive or next drive. And so, you know, it's D only applies if you're having a special national fund drive. So my concern is that C would let you know, if a station is caught up on central services and then we have to do some additional, you know, ask each station to contribute more for something that's needed, then they could deduct that from the next central services. I don't think that would work because it would mean that the next month the national office wouldn't have enough funds.
And of course, that's your debate for postponing it to the next meeting, which is what's on the floor.
Well, I guess I'm against postponing it. I think I'd rather just
tied it in.
Vote not to postpone, but also vote for my amendment.
Okay, so is there any further debate on postponing this to the next meeting? I think I'd be okay with postponing it to the next meeting because I don't think anything gigantic is going to happen in this area before the next meeting. And, you know, I don't know. I am feeling a little bit about the fact that we have a meeting that isn't that attended. We don't have a full committee. The chair isn't here. And, you know, there's going to be probably a full sort of newish meeting committee next time. So I'm thinking, and certainly leaving postponing to the next meeting. That's my thought on it. Anybody else? And somebody is scraping stuff near their mic. So, any further debate on the motion to postpone the motion to the next meeting? None. Is there? Do people please not scrape stuff across their microphones? Is there any objection to postponing to the next meeting?
Ken Aaron, I object.
Okay, so we'll go to a vote. Okay, so going to a vote on postponing to the next meeting. And, okay, pardon me if I call a name that I shouldn't be calling. All right, the motion is postponed to the next meeting. Ken Aaron.
No.
Deb Garwal, Nick Arenas, Bill Crozier.
I'll abstain.
Looking over here, right. Sabrina Jacobs. R. Paul Martin, yes. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Okay, and that seems to be everybody. And we have Mansoor, you're not here, right? And with a quorum of five, we only have four. So we have lost quorum. So I'll note that, and all right, well, see, now I'm in a pickle. The bylaws require that if you get quorum but then you lose quorum, you keep on going, but any motion has to pass by the same amount that a quorum would require. If we had five, we would require
three. Bill, I'll change my vote. Can I change my vote since you haven't...
If you're going to change
count,
it to yes, that affects
count,
things. If you change it to no, it doesn't affect things.
Yeah, no, I would change it to a yes just to simplify this process. Right.
Okay. Now. Okay.
If I can do that.
So then it's 3-4, one against, zero abstentions, and so it is passed, and we go on to the next thing. 1 second. Okay, the next thing here is what is needed to get the FY16 audit done is the way it came out. So, Ken, I think you were wanting to put this one in. Was that yours? Ken? Anybody? Okay. I don't hear Ken.
Well, listen, Bill, I can talk about it.
Hello. Bill, why don't you go?
I don't have a motion, but...
I'm back. Okay. It was an earphone problem. So, yes, the CFO sent the report out, and it's critical. There's a compliance date of, I think, February 14th, which we're not going to be able to make. If it's a question of people... staff, I think somebody's got to move to get the staff to get this done. And the only thing I was concerned about is hiring people or consultants is going to do more procedures that doesn't apply here. I think we should somehow get the least expensive accounting firm we can and get it done so that we don't lose honor on nonprofit status. To go through a whole cycle. Just see if we can outsource getting the work done. This is 2018 now. Most of the work should be able to be done online. And no need to have a proximity of having staff in any facility. So, you know, I don't know. Assuming on the basis of what Bill said earlier, I don't know if that was on during the streaming, there should be some funds still there from that Sunday fundraise for the audit. Is this form of this
wonderful
committee
privilege?
Okay.
Yes. Off speakerphone.
That's it. Ken, are you on a speakerphone?
That's on my phone.
You're echoing. It's hard to hear you. It's wild. All right.
Yeah, I understand you.
All right. Ken says he's done. All right. Bill, you wanted to say something on this?
Okay, thank you. I hope I sound okay. The real problem, right, is we don't have enough people in the national office, and we haven't had enough people for years. And that's how we get in this situation in the first place, where audits are late and pensions, we don't know exactly how much we have to pay. I mean, part of the problem with pensions is not having the money there in the past 3 years also, but it's also complicated to figure it out. And what we need mostly is more staff, and that does take money, you're right, Ken. And we did have that national fundraiser about a year ago for the audit. We used a lot of it, most of it. I'm not sure exactly how much we have left, but we used part of it to pay for the FY16 auditor. We've also used part of it to pay for the pension fund auditor, and we've used some money to help WBAI and WPFW get some accounting done, some additional extra people to help with that. And I'm not sure. I think we used part of it for one more staff person in the national office, but we need at least one or two more staff people. And our CFO has had a lot of trouble finding good people. We need experienced, not junior, experienced, like senior accountants, and at least one more. And they're hard to find. We can't tell people we're going to hire them permanently if we don't know we have the money from essential services to make sure that we continue to pay them plus the benefits. So what our CFO has been trying to do for about a month and a half is get somebody through a temp agency. The trouble is that there aren't very many senior accountants that want to work for temp agencies. And if they do, as soon as they get an offer somewhere, they're going to go there because they'd rather, most of them would probably have a regular permanent full-time job somewhere. So it's difficult to get people that way. If anybody has any leads on how to help us find some senior accountants, that would be helpful more than anything else. And I'm sorry, Sam's not ill. He's ill. He's not here today, so I'm not sure exactly what he would say, but I know that's the biggest problem we have. And the national office people, they're spread real thin. They have to handle everything from HR and insurance and payroll and all the questions that anybody comes up with for any part of Pacific or the board constantly. It takes time to deal with that. Plus, insurance and all the regular work that they do.
Okay.
I hope that answers the question.
Done, Bill?
Yeah, and so what we really need to get permanent people is we need every station to pay central services every month. That's it in a nutshell for a more permanent long-term solution. We have to get that done. We have to figure out how to do that.
Okay. Because I have to read all the minutes, because I write them, one of the things that's impressed me about this is it isn't just money, it's also time. The CFO has been impressing on us for a couple of months that getting people in there also takes some number of weeks to get them up to being able to do stuff, because apparently it's pretty complicated. And at this point in time, this is something that would obviously really need to have the CFO to weigh in on it. But it is possible, I don't know for certain, but there is also the possibility that another factor here is how long would it take to bring these people up to speed so that they could be actual contributors instead of just taking other people's time to teach them how, so that we could get it done. I mean, the question there is, if we had the money and we hired people, would they be able to function to get this done by February 14th? And that's a question I think the CFO would have to answer. Any further discussion on what's needed to get the FY16 audit done?
Yeah, this is Ken.
Ken, go ahead.
One other point which maybe Bill can address. It's if you limit the area of recruitment to the Bay Area, because that happens to be where the national office is, it's a high salary area, and it's a limited opportunity. You're talking about a small sector of the country. I would think that the accounting, a great deal of it could be done over the internet with staff, even if they were working on site in an office at Houston or in L.A., and we might have a better success of recruiting like that. But I think it's always a burden that recruitment has to be done because usually we're under market on what we're willing to pay. But I'm just concerned that limiting it to the Bay Area, I'm sorry, I should have said D.C., Houston, New York is high cost, and so is L.A. to a degree. But D.C. and Houston are going to be lower cost to get solicit services. So that's a concern I have of, you know, making it parochial. It has to be in San Francisco. I wondered if Bill could respond to that.
Okay, let me see. You know, I think Sam has looked into that. I know, for example, the business manager at KPFT is very capable, and I think she's been helping some with this, but part of it's hard if you're not there with all the records and all that. And then you get to the point of, do you have people who have time now to do all scanning of records and all that kind of stuff? I'm not sure exactly, though. I suggest, once you call Sam when he gets back in the office, and maybe we can work together and figure out some way of doing something like this. I think he's already looked into this and decided it was more work than it was worth, but I'm not sure. And, you know, ideally we need to hire people that we can keep and not just get a temp and, like you're saying, spend a month or so training them, and then they leave in a month after that. But we have to have the money to make sure we can keep paying them and not just have to lay them off after a few months if we run out of dough.
Okay. Anything further on this item?
This is Bill.
Yeah.
Can I finish? Or, yeah, I'm sorry. And you know, our new IED, you know, he is just about to start. Yeah, almost any time now. Okay. Maybe Nancy can help us get a little more information up that and more updates. And you know, I have talked briefly about this, and he wants to. You know, he wants to see what he can do also to help expedite this, but I don't know yet what it would be. He hasn't had a chance to meet with our CFO yet, a year or so, but I know he's really interested in trying to figure out some solution for, you know, getting some help and getting this expedited. But no guarantees. And February 14th, by the way, is the deadline, the extended deadline we've gotten from the State Attorney General. Sam feels it's possible that he may give us another extension, but only if we show some progress, that we're making progress on it. And there's no guarantee that we'll get an extension anyway.
All right, so Ken raised something at the very start of this, and Bill, you can probably answer it. Ken asked who is the new IED and when does that person start? I think were the two questions. Maybe you can answer that in like 10 seconds.
Well, what about Nancy? Nancy, because she's the chair pro tem of the board.
Oh, okay. Nancy, why don't you answer it?
Okay, yep. His name is Tom Livingston, and he started today. And he's interim, and he's really interim, and his other function is his company is going to be doing a search for permanent ED for us. So he's interim while we do that, and he also is going to try to help us assess what kind of person we need in this executive director, and you know, what our critical needs are, and what everybody feels that we need in the next ED, and also to he has a lot of resources at his disposal to help us in the meantime.
Okay, so he's going to be sort of a part-time interim executive director?
He's full-time. He's working full-time.
But he has another job.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be working more than 40 hours a week.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. All right, is there... okay, we've reached the limit of our agenda here, and unless somebody has something they really want to bring up, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Back to, well, I will make a motion to adjourn. I move to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, is there any motion is to adjourn? Is there any objection to adjourning? Hearing none, pass without objection. Thank you all. Good night. Next meeting is February.
Thanks for everybody. Thanks for everybody who served on the committee this year and last year.
Yes. Thank everyone. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye. Good serving with everyone.